The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Amasewa Bidiako.
In the headlines, Cabinet approves setting up of National Research Fund. Parliament, for second time, fails to approve 2016 GNPC budget. Trial of Ivorian former First Lady Simone Gbagbo begins in Abidjan amidst tight security. And more countries resort to use of renewable energy. Cabinet has given approval for the setting up of the National Research Fund. A bill has therefore been submitted to Parliament for the enactment of an act to regulate the fund. Deputy Minister in charge of Tertiary Education, Samuel Okudjeto Ablakwa, announced this at the launch of the leading edition of the APT Journal, a multidisciplinary research publication of Accra Polytechnic. The 39-page biannual report seeks to identify and find solutions to challenges within communities nationally and globally. Mr. Blackwa said the National Research Fund is intended to scale up investment in research so as to meet the African Union target of 1% GDP by member nations.
We are hopeful that the National Research Fund bill will become law so that it will afford us the opportunity to coordinate research, harness resources, and to scale up our investment in research. I did talk about the African Union target of 1% of GDP in research by member nations. Most of our African nations have not been able to achieve that target. And Ghana, we want to be the first in sub-Saharan Africa to achieve that target. But to scale up support for research, you need to create the legal framework, which hitherto did not exist. That is why we are putting together the National Research Fund. I am happy to note also that all the stakeholders have endorsed the idea.
Mr. Blackwa said it is regrettable lecturers of tertiary institutions insist on receiving the book and research allowance instead of buying to the idea of National Research Fund.
The lecturers and others who receive their book and research allowances do not want us to stop the book and research allowances or replace the book and research allowances with the National Research Fund. During my interaction with the Accra Polytechnic lecturers, these are discussions that we want to continue having. Is it prudent for our nation? Is it a judicious use of resources to continue to run two parallel systems when the National Research Fund bill becomes an act, when the law is passed? These are discussions that we need to hold.
The rector of Accra Polytechnic, Professor Sylvester Achiu, said the journal is important, especially in the light of the conversion of the school into a technical university. He said research and practical work has been the basis of the Polytechnic's successes over the years. Professor Achiu said the journal will make research information available to all and will tap into the knowledge of academia.
Parliament has for the second time failed to approve the 2016 program of activities for the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, GNPC. The adoption of the report of the Committee on Mines and Energy have been deferred following apparent division on the issues raised in the report. The GNPC's provision of guarantee for the car partnership contracted by ECG, the proposed construction of a new head office building and the ICT systems upgrade and expansion are some of the thorny issues that characterize the debate. The corporation is seeking parliamentary approval to utilize about 2.6 billion cedis to execute its activities for the year. The MP for Ifutu, Alexander Asenyo-Makin, was concerned about the expenditure of GNPC on projects which he said are out of the mandate of the corporation and wondered why the car partnership deal was not brought to Parliament for approval as part of GNPC's 2015 program of activities.
2015, Ghana National Petroleum Corporation issued some financial commitments in the form of bank guarantee in support of the car power project which government through ECG signed. The speaker, in 2015, when we approved the 2015 program of activities by GNPC, we didn't find that in the program of activities of GNPC. Now in 2016, I would have thought that because perhaps it was late the guarantee was issued after we had approved the program of activities. Same would be captured in the 2016 program of activities. But Mr. Speaker, if you look at it, this program of activities say nothing about the $100 million that GNPC has committed through Stanbic Bank in support of the car power project. Now, we are doing the 2016 program of activities. Mr. Speaker, we have to draw the distinction. Approving the program of activities is one thing, and where certain specific disbursements have been made, which ought to come to this house, it also ought to be considered as a separate item.
The Minister of Petroleum and MP for Lembele, Emmanuel Amakofibua, debunked assertions that GNPC is moving out of its mandate in seeking support for power projects.
The core functions of GNPC have been laid out in PNDC Law 64, and they are very, very clear. The mandate is to undertake exploration, development, production, and disposal of petroleum products, including gas. As we speak today, Mr. Speaker, the Jubilee gas that is being produced is powering thermal plant in Abuja. GNPC's role in making sure they provide funds to support the buy that was brought in was, quite frankly, within their mandate, Mr. Speaker, because GNPC has been mandated as the aggregator of gas in the country. And so that point, that this was not within GNPC's mandate, is completely wrong. This is rightly within GNPC's mandate.
The MP for Ibuakwa South, Samuel Atachia, was not happy with GNPC's move to spend about 69 million cedis on the establishment of a research center.
Mr. Speaker, there is no denial the fact that GNPC is a strategic entity in the economy. Mr. Speaker, I beg to submit that if GNPC has truly and properly applied itself, by now it should have been weaned off the national city. GNPC would have been so resourceful to the point that there will be no need for us to even worry ourselves that we need to take money from the national city and support the activities. We are talking about a research and technology center. Mr. Speaker, the research and technology center is in the sum of 69.73 million Ghana cedis. What kind of research center is this one? A center of research, 69.73 million Ghana cedis. What we are about to approve last comprehensiveness. Mr. Speaker, another matter which is very, very serious. ICT upgrade and expansion, 45.20 million Ghana cedis. What kind of upgrading is this? What are you upgrading? And therefore, whatever you are trying to do for us, we should have some comprehensive dimension to it. They don't see that the money is there.
Member for Tamale South, Haruna Idrisu, said the investment by GNPC is contributing towards the resolution of the national power crisis.
I've seen questions being raised about GNPC's commitment. Mr. Speaker, few months ago, the nation was thrown into darkness, popularly referred to as doomsday. At the time, we were concerned about the cost of the lack of electricity to drive businesses and for social life. It took the same GNPC to provide the guarantee which is contributing to our energy generation. And Mr. Speaker, the GNPC will be appreciated by the significant investment they are making guarantee for generation of energy. The GNPC is contributing into resolving a major national problem, which is the generation of electricity by providing the $100 million guarantee for car power, which my colleague for convenient politics chose to ignore. It is provided for that they are giving the guarantee. Mr. Speaker, the $50 million the Honorable Ikeama referred to was to provide for infrastructure support for us to be able to get the gas moving.
MP for Tamale South, Haruna Idrisu. He was speaking on the floor of Parliament when members debated the 2016 program of activities of GNPC.
Political party financing in Ghana, especially with the high cost of party campaigns and non-disclosure of funding sources, continue to be a major source of concern. An independent consultant, Professor Kwesi Prempeh, said the continuous funding of political parties by what he termed political investors poses political, economic, and social costs to the public in the long run when their parties win election. Professor Prempeh was speaking at the forum in Accra on political party funding. Rukayatu Musa has more.
Experts have over the years called for clear laws to encourage citizens to trust political parties and politics. One issue that has not helped in building and sustaining the trust of citizens in politics has been the inadequate disclosure of the identity of political campaign financiers, illicit party financing, and abuse of incumbency, which can fuel corruption. It is against this backdrop that the Financial Accountability and Transparency Africa, with support from Star Ghana, held the forum in Accra to find lasting solutions to the challenges of political party financing. An independent consultant, Professor Kwesi Prempe, explains how activities of political financiers can contribute to corruption in the country.
Why would anybody put so much money in a party? If they couldn't get it back, they wouldn't put it in. They know they're going to get it back because once you win power in this country, you get all the power, all the contracts, budgets, appointments. That winner takes all is also fueling this whole thing.
A Deputy General Secretary of the NDC, Kwaku Anyidoho, shares some thoughts on political party financing.
Whether it's practical for the state to really fund political parties within, especially our setting and our political milieu, where there's still a lot of work to be done in terms of infrastructure expansion, in terms of provision of social amenities. And of course, to the extent that political parties, for one reason or another, cut a negative image. So when you start funding political parties in the public press, with all that negativity hanging around political parties because of the actions of one or two people, you are not too sure what the public will say. There may be a total uproar from the public.
The acting general secretary of the NPP, John Bwedu, said there should be capacity building for the parties before considering party financing by the state.
There are some set skills that are needed to be able to run an effective political party that can generate support and fire reports. Because by even the nature of our law, what kind of reports are we talking about? Filing returns, what returns? Returns at the headquarters. And I'm saying that there's no political party in this country that has ever filed complete returns of the activities for a year. But what we see is just reports of campaign activities at the headquarters.
Experts at the forum urged Financial Accountability and Transparency Africa and Star Ghana to develop a model in which estimates of political funding can be made known.
Rukia Tumusa reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. Cabinet approves setting up of National Research Fund. Parliament for second time fails to approve 2016 budget of GNPC. Trial of a first former lady of Ivory Coast, Simone Gbagbo, begins in Abidjan amidst tight security, and more countries resort to use of renewable energy.
MP for Menchia North, Collins Owusu-Amankwa, is unhappy with the way the police in Krofrom are handling the murder of a 27-year-old man in the town. He has therefore called on the youth to exercise restraint and allow peace to prevail as the appropriate institutions manage the situation. He spoke to Agatha Samoa on Behind the News.
This coming Thursday, there's going to be a one-week observation of young man that has lost life. But I want to put it on record that generally, Krofrom town is a very peaceful town. People there are not violent, as some people want us to believe. We are not happy with the way these officers handle them.
How do we resolve this so that the youth would not take to the streets again?
Even though temperatures are very high, people are not comfortable with how far things have gone, but we've been able to engage them that they should allow peace to prevail.
720 ballots.
Police command has arrested Paul Chirel Seata, a 31-year-old farmer and druggist, for his alleged involvement in the shooting incident in the Kato chieftaincy dispute. The Bono of Regional Police Public Relations Officer, ASP Christopher Teria, made this known in an interview with GBC in Sunyai. He said the suspect was arrested on Friday around 10:30 p.m. at his residence in Kato. The police retrieved an Italian-made gun with registration number 44-2990, together with documents covering the weapon. ASP Teria said the suspect admitted firing during the violent clash in Kato. He said even though Mr. Furiata did produce a valid document covering the weapon, he was still put in police custody for further investigations.
The Director General of the Ghana AIDS Commission, Dr. Angela L. Adas, says the SDG target of ending the AIDS pandemic by 2030 can only be achieved if other related development goals like poverty reduction and strategic partnership are integrated and strongly linked. She said a deficiency in other sectors of the SDGs helps to boost the growth of the HIV pandemic, hence the need to adopt an intersectoral approach in tackling it. Madame Eladas was speaking at the 15th anniversary of Hope for Future Generations, an NGO in Accra. Jonathan Thompson reports.
Currently, HIV remains the leading cause of death among adolescents from 10 to 19 years in sub-Saharan Africa and the second across the globe. The Director General of the Ghana AIDS Commission, Dr. Angela L. Adas, said a careful look at all other sectors of the SDGs is necessary since their neglect critically affects the fight against HIV and AIDS in Africa. She said strong partnerships among stakeholders is the right way to go.
We must leverage the synergies and linkages within the Sustainable Development Goals so that we can achieve our target of ending AIDS by 2030. Now, we can only succeed if we continue to pursue the integrated and intersectoral approach in leveraging SDGs 1 through 17, that is, leveraging poverty reduction through strategic sustained partnerships, an integrated, comprehensive approach, not just staying in one line or working in a silo, but adopting an integrated approach, looking at development through a comprehensive lens and working in such a way. So if we, as partners in development, will just look at this example over the last 15 years, then I think that we have an example to follow. The paradigm that we are supposed to implement within, under the Sustainable Development Goals, will not be so vague to us, will not be so difficult to us, not just at the policy level, but also at the level of implementing. To make the necessary impact, we must, all of us, at this event, join in the struggle and join HFSG to rapidly make inroads.
Dr. L. Adas called on all civil society organizations to be stronger in the advocacy than they have been in the past. She commended Hope for Future Generations, HFFG, for being a strong partner with the commission for years. The executive director of HFFG, Cecilia Lodonu-Senu, said the organization will continue to seek the welfare and empowerment of women and children in Ghana as they have been doing for the past 15 years.
We started with funding from Ghana AIDS Commission under the GAF Fund and Hope for African Children Initiative, HACI, and Plan Ghana, which was used for program interventions in the area of HIV, vulnerable children, and child survival in the central region. We can confidently say that we have contributed to the realization of Ghana's development for the past 15 years, including all the gains made with the just-ended MDGs. We have touched the lives of women, children, and young people in over 600 communities across the country. We have been a voice to the voiceless and have brought hope to the hopeless.
Executive Director of Hope for Future Generations, Cecilia Lodonu-Senu, ending that report by Jonathan Thompson.
Still on age, Greater Accra Region led the HIV prevalence table with 3.2% for the year 2015. Greater Accra has overtaken the Eastern Region, which topped the ranking consistently over a long period. The National AIDS Control Program, NACAP, says Accra took the lead because of growing urban centers and increasing slums within the region. Launching the 2015 HIV Sentinel Survey in Accra, the program manager of NACAP, Dr. Stephen Isiado, said HIV is still real, especially when the national prevalence rate moved from 1.6 to 1.8%. Return Pabin Teta reports.
For the past 23 years, the National AIDS Control Program has been releasing information on surveys conducted on HIV prevalence in Ghana with focus on gender, regions, urban and rural specifications. The 2015 survey focused on more than 18,000 pregnant women and children most especially. Greater Accra has displaced Eastern Region from its unenviable long-standing position as the region with the highest HIV cases. Dr. Isiado said, even though figures indicate that the national HIV cases have increased, the trend keeps declining.
For us, Eastern Region is declining, which has resulted in the power probably being at this position. The Greater Accra prevalence has been increasing for the past 2 years, 3 years. If you look at the trend analysis, the Greater Accra prevalence is almost a plateau, straight, compared to all the regions, including Eastern region, which is on the decline. Eastern region has the highest gradient of decline. Now, if this is a trend, it means that if we are not careful, we are now, there's a game change. We are transitioning to the highest prevalence, certainly with the Greater Accra. In children, we notice a drop, 1.8 previously to 1.1. Prior to this, it was 1.3 in 2013, and it came to 1.8. We were not happy because it was like 50%, but we need to continue to intensify our efforts at the children, no matter what.
Dr. Eisiadu said, urban communities continue to record very high rates than rural communities. The Minister of Health, Alex Egbefia, said government will continue to prioritize HIV treatment and prevention to reduce the menace. He said a global fund and the United States have approved a $25 million grant to facilitate Ghana's implementation of the Treat All policy by October this year.
My ministry, and indeed the government of Ghana, is committed to ensuring that HIV and AIDS prevention and control remains a priority issue within this broad framework for incremental resource allocation despite the current economic challenges. To this extent, Ghana has adopted the new UNAIDS 1990 and the WHO Treat All policy to ensure a fast-track approach to ending the epidemic through accelerated ART enrollment with particular emphasis on pediatric care. I urge all stakeholders to support the Ghana Health Service and the National AIDS STI Control Program to revise all relevant guidelines and implement this policy in the shortest possible time.
For now, stakeholders are calling on the health sector and all relevant bodies not to be complacent on HIV and AIDS control, but fight to achieve a zero prevalence.
A report by Ritam Pabinkete.
In foreign news, Cote d'Ivoire former First Lady Simone Gbagbo went on trial yesterday for crimes against humanity in what many see as a litmus case for justice in the country. The hearings into the 66-year-old's rule in post-election carnage in 2010 is expected to last a month, with 32 witnesses testifying. Security was tight, with the entrance to the court sealed off as she was let in. Nicknamed the Iron Lady, Simone Gbagbo is accused of planning and organizing rights abuses against supporters of her husband's presidential rival in a bid to maintain Laurent Gbagbo in power at all costs.
Kenya's Interior Minister Joseph Nkaiserry has announced that the world's largest refugee camp will be closed in November. The Dadaab camp in Kenya is home to more than 300,000 Somalis. Mr. Nkaiserry said Kenya will work closely with the UN and the Somali government to repatriate the refugees.
Renewable energy surges to record levels around the world. New solar, wind and hydropower sources were added in 2015 at the fastest rate the world has ever seen. According to Renewables Global Status Reports, investment in the sector during the year were more than double the amount spent on new coal and gas-fired power plants. For the first time, emerging economies spent more than the rich on renewable power and fuels.
The U.S. has warned that the Euro 2016 football championship to be held in France next month could be a target of militant attacks. According to the State Department, the large number of tourists visiting Europe in the summer months will present greater targets for terrorists. The event, which starts from June 10 to July 10 at various venues as France, is already under a state of emergency following the last year's Islamist claimed attacks in Paris.
The body of the late Archbishop Emeritus of Kumasi, Most Reverend Thomas Kweku Mensah, has been laid to rest at the St. Peter's Cathedral Minor Basilica in Kumasi after a requiem mass at the Jubilee Park. The late Most Reverend Mensah was one of the only two surviving heads of the Kumasi Archdiocese. Correspondent Nicholas Osewusu reports.
Born on February 2, 1935, to Openyi Kweku Mensah, a herbalist, and Oba Openyi Amabuachewa, both of blessed memory at a Suohwasa mine near Kokofu in the Asante region, Most Reverend Emeritus Kweku Mensah obtained a certificate in commercial studies from the Bennett College in the United Kingdom before gaining employment at the Ghana Railway Authority, where he rose through the ranks from a messenger typist, clerical assistant to clerical officer. He started his seminary education at age 24 at the preparatory seminary at Jamasi in Ashanti, and later went to the St. Teresa's Minor Seminary, St. Peter's Regional Seminary, and completed at the St. Moore School of Theology in the United States of America, where he graduated with a master's degree in divinity. Most Reverend Kwaku Mensah was ordained into the Catholic priesthood in June 1973 in Indianapolis, USA, by the only surviving Archbishop Emeritus of Kumasi, Most Reverend Peter Akosisapong. The late Archbishop Emeritus Kwaku Mensah has served the Catholic Church in various capacities, including being an acting vice president of the Ghana Catholic Bishops Conference and rector of the St. Peter's Regional Seminary at Tedu in Cape Coast. He also once served as the Pontifical Chairman for Health Pastoral Care of the Vatican. Most Reverend Kwaku Mensah was the first bishop of the Obuasi Catholic Diocese when it was created in 1995, before he became the Metropolitan Archbishop of Kumasi in March 2008 to replace the retiring Most Reverend Peter Akosisapong. He finally retired as the Archbishop in May 2012 after serving for 4 years in that office. He died in April this year at the Konfanasi Teaching Hospital after undergoing a brain surgery. It is in recognition of this that many people from all walks of life stand up to pay their last respect to him. His body was first laid in state at the St. Peter's Cathedral Minor Basilica and later sent to the Jubilee Park for the final pre-burial mass. In a sermon, the only surviving former Kumasi Archbishop, Most Reverend Peter Akosisapong, described the late Kwaku Mensah as dutiful, frank, honest, and a disciplinarian who also shunned bad attitudes such as drunkenness and pulled him down. The Asante Hino Tunfo said to record with nostalgia the zeal with which the late Most Reverend Kwaku Mensah conferred with him at the Menchia Palace on matters of national interest. From Kumasi, Nicholas Useusu, Radio Ghana.
To end the news, the main points again. Cabinet has given approval for the setting up of the National Research Fund. A bill has therefore been placed before Parliament for the enactment of an act to regulate the fund. Parliament has yet again failed to approve the 2016 Program of Activities for the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, GNPC. The House deferred the debate on the adoption of the report of the Select Committee on Mines and Energy. And the trial of Cote d'Ivoire's former First Lady Simone Gbagbo for crimes against humanity commenced yesterday in Abidjan. It is expected to last for a month, with 32 witnesses testifying. Security for yesterday's trial was said to be very tight. That ends the news broadcast from Radio Ghana, Accra.